Welcome to Old Days. Week of Old Days. We are
excited. We need a horse sound like a...
We need like the good, the bad, and the ugly playing in the background.
Yeah.
How the West was won. Yeah. O&E.
Yes! Is that the theme?
That is the theme. Nice.
Wait, what is it? The West?
How the West was won, but...
O&E.
O&E.
We are starting a new series, kind of. We're revisiting an old series.
Resuming.
We're resuming it
because we did a first one all the way back on Father's Day. So it's all confusion.
So we're in Never Read a Bible Verse, asterisk, without context, part two. Well, we are talking about what Jesus says when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life in John 14:6.
A couple things about this is this podcast is probably going to be longer than the message at Old Days. Because I really did try to keep it short, and I tried to think of something that could relate to something a lot of people may have heard of that we can then go back and show what Jesus is really talking about, because these verses are typically taken out of context, not just from the Bible, but also culturally, because we don't understand either. And I talked about some of this a few years ago where I was driving down Main Street, and on the side of the roads, taped to a light pole, 8.5 by 11 white sheet of paper, big black letters, I am the way, the truth, the life. And it said, dash Jesus. Like Jesus wrote the sign and stuck it to the street pole. And then 5 blocks later, same day, same time, I am turning a left onto Broadway from Main Street. And there's this group of guys. They're jumping up and down on the corner with a bullhorn yelling, Jesus and repent. And I'm fairly certain they were not telling Jesus to repent. They were telling everybody else to repent. And it just made me think that we in our culture have no idea how to relate the truths of the Bible in ways that actually make sense to people around us. We hear these things, we run after them. It's been done this way for years in church culture, so therefore we just do the same things. We yell repent. And when Jesus and John the Baptist both used the word repent, it was spoken into a culture that was centered in Judaism who would have known what those words meant. And we don't today. And so Jesus makes a statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that is very controversial in our world that thinks it sounds very exclusive, and there's a reason for that, because it is exclusive, but it needs to be controversial for the right reasons and not the wrong ones. And that's what we're going to talk about really at Old Days. What Jesus meant when he said this, what the people would have heard when he said this, and then how it relates to us. Jesus is like, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Thomas, disciple who really loved Jesus but wasn't always that bright, is like, Well, you said we know how to get there. Well, how do we get there? And Jesus is like, okay. And that's when he says, I'm the way. That's how you get there. And that would have been eye-opening for them, because for them, it was always through the law. I do these things. I follow the law. That helps me to be able to come into the presence of God in some way when I make a sacrifice. And Jesus says, no, the way you come to the presence of God is through me. And that is the way that we all get to step into relationship with God. So when Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father, it's not about heaven, except in terms of life and ending with God. And this is what the whole thing revolves around, and that we're all invited into it.
So what do you hope if someone walks by, sits down, listens to this message, what do you hope they walk away with?
I hope they hear the good news of the gospel in context so they understand it.
Invitation to come home.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who think that what you do for God is you go out and you accost people walking into a store, into the mall, into the grocery store, stand on the street corner, yell, put up signs. But we are taught by God to do this in relational contexts. And most of the time, none of those things have any relational context. Like for years, people handed out tracts, and there's no relational context to that. And so if people have questions about what this means, the Romans Road. What in the world is the Romans Road? Here's the verses. Now, I'm not saying God can't do a work, because the Spirit can do a work with his word as it goes into our lives, and I get that. But I think what you constantly see is the relational view of it. You take in the book of Acts, you got the Ethiopian, right? He's reading the words of this, and he's got questions about it. And all of a sudden, boom, was it Philip?
I believe so.
Shows up there, and he explains it. He talks him through it.
Is this the eunuch?
Yes.
Okay.
And so God's already doing a work in this guy's heart, but yet he uses this relationship with this person to explain it and then baptize him. It's relational networks. And this is why I struggle so much against people and their arguments on Facebook and Instagram, because they just post these things and they think that's going to change people's minds or hearts. And it doesn't. It just causes other people to react. And we need to learn how to be in a relationship. And that's what I think is great about old days, is it takes us into relationship. It takes us into the center of town, into the center of a community. And whether we talk to one person, 10 people, no people, that at least they're going to begin to hear this in a relational context.
So how can people listen to this who are attending, like, help continue that welcome home?
Beyond that day.
Yeah. Or even there. Yeah. Right after, or as they're walking around the parade, or, you know, or, and then obviously, yeah, beyond.
Look for people you don't know. Be kind. Say hello. If you're at the service on a Sunday and you see somebody there you don't know, walk up and say hi. Spend some time with them. Ask them to lunch afterwards. There's going to be lots of food trucks and lots of things going on. And if you're out in the parade that day, look for ways to step in and help. Maybe someone's setting up their booth and you say, hey, can I help you do that? Looks like that thing is really heavy. Let me help you carry. Something just to look around and give of yourself away to show that God has called us to step into this world and start to care for those around us. And the relationships can begin to build. Have you noticed anything maybe in your gospel communities where people's cultural understanding skews the scriptures?
Yeah, I think there's just a propensity for like proof texting and one-liners because it's easier than digging into it often. And
John G, I can do all things to him. So good. Slam dunk the basketball.
Yeah, but you hear it sometimes like in conversations, you know, the hits, the Jeremiah 29:11s and the Romans 8:28s.
I have for you. Plans to prosper
exile and dispersion.
In 70 years.
But I think it's important to meet people where they are, and there's a time and place and way in which you can challenge that or broaden the perspective a bit. But it's good, I think, that you hit on this one, because yeah, definitely heard this shared and interpreted in different ways than what you drive home.
Okay, well, last night in our notes.
Ooh, fresh story.
We were talking about the message on Sunday and what it means in God's economy. And three people like shared. And I'm like, well, that's not what I meant. But it was so interesting, the transactional way that they all went, even with understanding what I say with God's spirit, it was still a transaction.
I got to repent harder. I got to do better.
Yeah, I need to give more, because when I thought I'd give less, I just need to learn how to give more. It's like, that is not what Paul is saying.
I think misconception of love, what culture says love has to be accepting and all things. And I think that there's lots of areas, but that's
which is the worst thing about feeling like every time I do a sermon, I talk about love, I feel like I have to define it now because people misunderstand it so much.
I think it's good to define your terms.
I appreciate when you've said it before, but you said it again this weekend about like America's version of Buddhism, right? Like, you're not actually Buddhist. That's
we call
not
that
what
California Buddhism in our house, because we know quite a few.
That is a great term.
Whatever I feel like, whatever makes me feel good, I'm a Buddhist.
Everything
I'm
except.
Like, you are not a Buddhist.
But it's
you're an
same,
American is what you are.
But people do the same thing with the gospel, right? I mean, I was thinking about this morning on my drive to work after a conversation I had with a family member of like, yeah, but God wants us to have da 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 da. And I'm like, is that what he
does
wants?
He?
Is that what he wants the most for us? Because I feel like that's not on the nose, but we do. We want it to be God is love, and he is, but we want it to be culture's version of love and culture's definition of love, and not love of him.
So why are we doing old days?
I think it's a good opportunity to engage element outside our walls. Service isn't about our property. Element isn't about our property. It's about our people going and being. And I think it's a good way to demonstrate collectively.
And maybe it's good for people who have never done something like this to kind of see what it looks like to, even if it's uncomfortable, to step into a community and be a part of it, where maybe you're just twiddling your thumbs in the corner being like, I don't know what to do, but at least you see something taking place.
I think it's super encouraging to see so many at Element actually are getting that. I feel like in conversations that I've been having recently, I was talking to Bill Boardman and he's like, I mean, it just speaks to like how we don't focus on just bringing people here. Like, we're always looking out and things like that. And he hasn't been here that long. And so for me, it's really great to hear, like, people are understanding, like, it's about going out. We're not just going to be a bomb shelter here on campus and here all the time and only here, but let's give opportunities to get out and to go see the people outside of here.
I think it's a little community that is in need. You know, we talked to the church who's used to be doing the service in the park, and they just didn't have the resources anymore to do it. And I mean, they probably would still be there if we weren't there, but I think something gets lost when it feels uncomfortable to attend, which is kind of the point they got to, because it was like three people on a boombox. Like, and that's, nothing's wrong with that. I just, it needed some new energy and resources.
I think that'd be a good one for people if they're talking to others and someone says, you know, what's this thing or this church? You can be like, well, it's a gathering of people. It's not just a building. It's not just this service. It's people coming together around the cause of who Jesus is and taking it out to the world in love and grace, using our hands and feet to represent who he is.
It's, we're going and joining what the community's doing.
Yeah.
I like that aspect of it's, we're partnering with this men's club that probably don't know much about Jesus, and we are there to serve and love and provide. I think make it better too. Like, one of the things we're doing this year is we're providing the bounce houses, because last year, like, a big complaint that I had was bounce houses were extremely expensive all day. And it's like, my boys wanted to bounce, and it's like, well, I'm sorry, like, you know, I'd be out $45 for every 10 minutes. It's like, I'm good.
I think it would be good to hit on that, like, follow-up piece as people are in their GCs talking the week following Los Alamos Days. Like, if it is a conversation starter of, like, okay, did you meet somebody? What's the next step? Like, how do we continue and move on? And what does that tangibly look like?
I mean, last year we gained someone who started attending Element who wasn't even there. Their child was there. And they're rock solid. I mean, they're going to Thailand. This couple who's been with us just under a year now. And then there's people who kind of got connected with their planet for a little bit. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's different based on the person, their need.
Or even someone that maybe is newer to Element and they decide to make the trek down to Los Alamos, but they haven't gotten connected here with someone on a Sunday. Like, we don't just have to be looking for, oh, do you live in Los Alamos? I'm only supposed to talk to people from Los Alamos and make connections there. Like, talk to someone that you've maybe seen at Element but haven't gotten a chance to connect with, and to find a next step, find a lunch or a play date or a GC gathering.
So join us at Old Days, where the West was won. Actually, it's Sarah. You're doing a great...
One of the three was sitting in this room. Is sitting in this room.
Yours was closest.
But and, still wrong.
And you were kind of hot about it, too, because you're like, no. And I was like, oh, I like the energy over here. But I didn't want to step in. And I'm like, I would do that, but I'd be offensive if I talk like that.